Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Beitza, daf Hey. We're in daf Dalam Adbeis. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned. Lezer Chanishmas, Lois Lupin Zaltzman. We are in the Gemara having a discussion about Beitza, the egg on Yantav, the egg that's laid on Yantav. So again, so from the beginning of the Masechta, so the Mishnah started us off with a psak by Beis Hillel, that when egg is laid on Yantav, so you're not allowed to eat the egg. You're not allowed to eat the egg, and as the Brisa has taught us, you're not allowed to move the egg. The egg is forbidden. So why should that be? So as we pointed out from the beginning of the Masechta, for the first two dapim of the Masechta, so the Gemara gave a series of explanations in terms of why that should be. I think we had a total of four explanations in terms of why exactly that should be. Over the course of yesterday's daf Dalin, so the Gemara continued the discussion about it. The Gemara quoted another Braisa. The Gemara quoted Achim in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that you're allowed to eat the egg, but obviously Rabbi Eliezer holds like Beis Shammai, and we made attempts of understanding that Braisa as well. Okay, and then we turned the daf, we're on daf Dalam and Beis, and we covered a little bit towards the top of the Amud, and we are going to continue from the towards the top of the Amud. The Gemara's discussion yesterday that we just quickly want to summarize and review is what happens when Shabbos and Yontif are contiguous with one another. So in other words, either Yontif is on a Friday or on a Sunday. So now I have back-to-back days. I have Shabbos and I have Yontif. So let's say an egg is born or is laid on Shabbos and the next day is Sunday, next day is Yontif. So would I be allowed to eat the egg on Yontif? So that was subject to Machlokas. It was Machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara says that normally we pass like Rav Yochanan over Rav, but this would be one of those exceptions. And in this particular case, we're going to go like Rav, and Rav was machmir, Rav was stringent. And so therefore, an egg laid on Yontif, on Shabbos, you can't eat on Yontif, and the egg is laid on Yontif, you can't eat it on Shabbos. Fine. The Gemara did say that. The Gemara does mention that. Okay, but but nevertheless, in this particular machlokas, we pass like Rav. Okay. The Gemara then made a somewhat analogous scenario towards the top of Dalamud Beis. Rav Yochanan discussed what happens if wood falls down on Shabbos off the tree. Now, obviously, on Shabbos itself, you have nothing to do with the wood, obviously. In other words, that wood is mokzo, and there's not simply nothing to do with the wood. But but what about the next day on Yontif? So Rav Yochanan says next day also you can't handle the wood. Even though Rav Yochanan was makel regarding an egg, meaning an egg which is laid on Shabbos, you can eat it on the subsequent day in Yontif, but he was machmir when it comes to the wood, and the Gemara explained the distinction between the case of the egg and the case of the wood. Okay, in the Gemara, we are Amar Rav Masna. We're about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. It's the beginning of the line. The Gemara starts off Amar Rav Masna. This is now exactly where we left off yesterday. Let's say I have wood falling off the tree and right into the oven on Yontif. An unlikely case, an unusual case, but certainly the Gemara is going to give us a principle based on this particular case, a couple principles. So the case is that you have an oven, the oven's outside, and wood falls off the tree and goes right into the oven. Now the wood is mukta, right? The wood is, right, it's more than mukta, it's nolad, meaning the wood just came off the tree. So the wood is totally ill-prepared for Yontif, and so therefore what you're using now is mukta wood to fuel your oven on Yontif. So normally we would say, you can't do that. So interestingly enough, look what the Gemara says, marba aleim eitzim uchanim umasikan. So what you'll do is, you'll take lumber that was prepared before Yontif, and you'll add that to the oven. So that basically now the oven will have a tarof, it's a mixture of wood. Wood which is forbidden and which is permissible. And what you'll simply do is, you'll add more permissible wood than forbidden wood, and therefore what you're essentially going to do is you're going to create bittul. To which the Gemara says, v'akama apech b'isura. So first the Gemara says, I don't understand. There's prohibited wood in that oven, the wood that fell off the tree. So the Gemara says, "Kevin deruba de heteraninu ki kamahapech behetera kamahapech." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but the majority of the wood is heter, and so therefore we look really in terms of what defines the wood. We look at the majority, and since the majority is heter, so I can ignore the prohibited wood, the yester." So now the Gemara says, and now we get to the crux of the issue. V'akam avatli sur lechatchila. The Gemara says, what are you doing over here? In other words, you had wood that fell off the tree. That wood is usur. It's It's forbidden. And essentially now what you're doing is, I'm adding a lot of heter wood. The wood that that I was prepared before Yontif. And so therefore, I'm creating bittul. And that's a no-no. And the Gemara says it. And the Gemara says it right over here. Ein mevatlin isul lechitchila. One is not allowed to create a state of bittul. Meaning, all those cases that comes up in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, regarding bittul, is only if it happens. Meaning, if a drop of milk falls into a boiling pot of meat. In other words, but only after the fact can we say bittul occurs. But what you can't do is that you can't create a situation of bittul. And the Gemara over here is promoting exactly that. The Gemara is saying that when you have a little bit of isser wood that falls into the oven, so throw a lot of heter wood in and you'll arrive at bittul. So the Gemara says, so how can you do that? You're violating the basic rule of Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila. So to which the Gemara's response is, Hani Mila B'Daraisa, yeah, that's true. You can't create bittul, but that's only if it's an Isser D'Araisa. V'Abedirabban Mevatlinan. But if it's an Isser D'Rabbanan, so you're going to be Mevatl. Here we're talking about Muksa. Muksa is an Isser D'Rabbanan. Muksa is not an Isser D'Araisa. And so therefore you're allowed to create bittul, even L'Chatchila, if it's a Din D'Rabbanan. Good. That is, so the Gemara seems to be giving now what is seems to be a very simple and basic distinction. That if we're talking about Nisra D'Raisa, you cannot create Bittul. If Bittul happens organically, naturally, so then we can look at it and say, I have the majority of it is Heter and the minority is Isra, and therefore there's Bittul, therefore there's nullification. But if it's an Isra D'Rabbanan, it sounds like from the Gemara that you can create Bittul Afila Chathila, you can even create the scenario where I'm going to have more heter than I'm going to have iser. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Tosfos points out over here, there's only one Tosfos on this Amud, but Tosfos points out over here, you know, it seems like, you don't have to remember that far back. It seems like if you go back a day ago in the Daf, you'll think and you'll say to yourself, that's not true. What was the case we discussed just a couple of days ago? Remember we talked about the figs? Now we had, it was a complex discussion because machlok is between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and a machlok is between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. What the machlok is Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua was, fine. But when all said and done, we're talking about trumas te'enim. We're talking about taking truma off of figs. Truma off of figs. So Rashi and Tosfos both are of the opinion that's a din d'rabbanan. That's rabbinic law. That's not minatorah. Minatorah, you only take off truma from grapes, olives, and wheat, and grains. And so, and if you remember the Rashi that we did just yesterday, just in yesterday's daf, the Rashi that we did, Rashi says, you know, because it's the rabbanan, so we can treat ourselves to a certain number of leniencies, right? At least according to one opinion, right? Rashi said that even if it's not part of the tarovus, but we can count it towards the tarovus, fine. Tosfos over here points out what just happened. We just learned in our Gemara that when it's an Isser D'Rabbanan, so you can actually add Heter to create Bittul. So why didn't the Gemara in yesterday's Daf have this discussion? Just yesterday, we had a discussion about Trumas Te'inim, and there wasn't enough for Bittul, and why not just simply create Bittul? That's Tosfos' question. It's an extraordinarily sharp question, and the best part is you don't have to remember that far back. So all you have to do is just remember yesterday's Daf. So Tosfos makes the following suggestion in terms of maybe perhaps make creating a distinction. Tosfos says, you can see the Tosfos inside, it's right here. The Tosfos says, V'yesh l'amar in the middle of the Tosfos, da'hadam rabbi d'rabban mevatlin, that when our Gemara over here concludes that you could be mevatl in Issa d'rabbanan, that is, hainu b'davish ikaro mid'rabbanan, kigon muksa d'ikaro eino ella mid'rabbanan. So maybe, says Tosfos, that the discussion here is by specifically muksa. Muksa is strictly a din d'rabbanan, meaning that the whole concept of muksa, the whole idea of muksa, was takana, meaning it was a takana gzera, however you want to categorize it. But in other words, that was all rabbinically instituted. And the truma of figs, so Tosfos says, that's a rabbinic institution, but layered on top of an Isser D'Araisa, meaning the Torah already introduces us to the idea of truma. Truma is a din d'araisa. Which fruit is subject to truma? Okay, so minatorah, grapes, olives, and wheat. What the Chachamim did is they added to the din d'araisa. So that is basically a din d'rabbanan that's layered on top of backed into a din d'araisa. So Tosfos says maybe we could create a distinction between different types of d'rabbanans. D'rabbanans that are strictly d'rabbanans, like moksa, versus d'rabbanans which are layered on top of d'araisas. And so therefore, when our Gemara says, that you are allowed to be mevatel asur lechatchila, that's only by a strictly d'rabbanan, not by a d'rabbanan which is layered on top of a d'araisa. Okay, so Tosfos makes those kinds of distinctions in terms of trying to resolve the daf we're doing right now versus yesterday's daf.
You can't connect Muxa to Shabbos.
I mean, there's no din d'araisa by Muxa, meaning Muxa is a din d'rabbanan. The Rambam says that the Chachamim instituted Muxa for fear that you're going to carry. Now you're going to pick something up, you're going to carry it. All right, but in other words, it's interesting. It's absolutely interesting. Okay. Ula Ravashi da Amar called Davashish Lamatina Philip Durabban Lobatil Michael Amema. We're back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, okay, now let's remember. Ravashi says Davashish Lamatirin. Meaning remember, Ravashi taught us that yesterday's daf, that even by Dindurabban it's not gonna be Mavato. So now Muksa would, today it's prohibited, and tomorrow it's gonna be fine. So, this is a classic scenario of Davash Yesh Lamatirin. And as we discussed in yesterday's Gemara, there's no bitl by Davash Yesh Lamatirin. I feel about elef, even with 1,000. So, Hani Milechadi Isa be Isura be Ine, Acham Makli Kali Isura. So the Gemara makes a distinction. The Gemara says, yes, you're right, but that's only when the Isra is be'en, meaning when you can actually see the prohibition, like the egg that's laid on Yantiv. However, over here, the wood's being burnt up. So because the wood is being burned up, even Ravashi tends to be more makel. He tends to be lenient in this scenario, and it will not fall under the category of Davash Yesh Lamatirin. Okay, period. All right. The truth of the matter is, this is really where I should have gone to yesterday. And now the Gemara is going to begin, not a new discussion, but a new chapter in the discussion. We discussed yesterday what happens when Shabbos and Yom Tov are back-to-back. Right, and how do we view that? Do we view that as one long day, or do we view that as two distinct days? So the Gemara yesterday said very clearly the correct way to view it is two distinct days, and because they're viewed as two distinct days, so therefore I would principally agree with Rav Yochanan that an egg which is laid on one day is permitted the next day. Okay, we don't right. Rav is machmir, and we tend to be machmir like Rav, but okay. But in other words, how to view Shabbos and Yom Tov are basically two distinct days. We're going to have two more discussions today, and they really are fundamental. A lot of what we do is fundamental, but in terms of just conceptually speaking, we're going to have two basic discussions today. We're going to talk about the Shnei Yamim of Yantav outside of Eretz Yisrael, meaning what we do, right? Yantav is coming upon us just in less than 2 weeks. So we're going to have 2 days of the first days of Pesach. So how do we view those 2 days? Meaning the Torah says that the first day is Kadosh. And then after that's Chol HaMoed. But we in Galus, so we do 2 days. So how do we view those 2 days? Is that one long 48-hour period? Or do we view them as two different and distinct days of Yantav? That's one basic question we're going to come up with. And another basic question that we're going to come up with is Rosh Hashanah. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. How do we view the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? So over the course of the remainder of today's daf, we're really going to invest ourselves into how to view the 2 days of Yom Tov and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And you will see, by the way, as we go through the Gemara, they're not the same. The 2 days of Yom Tov, the 2 days of the first day of Pesach, the 2 days of the seventh day of Pesach, same thing with Sukkah, same thing with Shavuos. The 2 days of Yom Tov are not the same as the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, for reasons which hopefully I can articulate, and hopefully we can all have a better understanding. And what's great is that all this is really coming from, the entire discussion is revolving around an egg. But mind you, by the way, the egg is revelatory, meaning the egg is telling us basically how to view these days. So we're going to be discussing it in a very, what seems to be a limited context of what happened is the egg is laid on day one, can I eat it on day two? So the narrative of the Gemara over here is all going to revolve around an egg, but please understand that the egg is just a simon. It's just telling us now how to look at the 2 days of Yom Tov and how to look at the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So let's begin this discussion now. And so we start the discussion with 2 days of Yom Tov. Itmar. Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galios. The 2 days of Yom Tov in the diaspora. Okay, let's go over some basics. I'm basically just saying over Rashi. I'm not doing anything that intensive over here. But let's basically say it out. Now again, the last 1,700 years of Jewish history, so we have a calendar, and the calendar has been fixed. So we haven't done much in terms of thinking about the calendar. We look at the calendar. Okay, good. Now, you're right. Yontif there. Good. Got it. But prior to, and this is still after the Churban Bayis Sheni, after the destruction of the Second Temple, they were still designing the calendar based on witnesses. Okay, if you looked up in the sky last night, you saw a sliver of the new moon. Correct? In Rosh Hashanah, I'll try to give us all a better understanding of exactly the cycles of the moon, but you went out last night right before sunset, and even after sunset a little bit, so you saw the sliver of the new moon. So what would happen in the good old days is that once you saw the sliver of the new moon, you'd run to Yerushalayim and you would tell the Beis Din, hey, I saw the new moon. Now you would run probably, you wouldn't get there that night, you'd probably get there the next day, but okay, fine. And you say, you know, last night I saw the new moon. Good. And based on your testimony, together with another kasher aid, with another witness, so the Beis Din would say, good, let's sit down, let's convene. They convene and they establish today is going to be Rosh Chodesh. Now, we know that the lunar cycle is 29 and a half days. 29 days, 12 hours. And then if you want to be even more technical, 793 halakim out of 1,080, basically another two-thirds of an hour. Good. So basically what's happening is, we discussed this recently, is that a month is going to be either 29 days or 30 days. It generally averages out somewhere between 50-50, where some months are 29, some months are 30, and basically it's 50-50. It's not exactly 50-50 because mathematically that doesn't compute, but fine. So basically any given month in the Jewish calendar is either going to be 29 days or it's going to be 30 days. And by the way, nothing less than 29, no more than 30, and then no more than 30. I mean, 29, 30, that's your range. So within that range now, you're going to go run to Beis Din. You're going to basically say, hey, I saw the new moon, and Beis Din's going to establish it to be a new month. So that means that either on day 30 or day 31, Beis Din's going to declare this to be a Rosh Chodesh. Fine. And then they tell everybody. So when Mashiach comes, I would only imagine, so how would they tell everybody? So they would send a mass text message, and everyone would receive some sort of message from the Beis Din saying, okay, today we're Mekash the Chodesh. Okay, but let's go back to a time where I still remember life without cell phones. So but let's go back to a time where communication was done, you know, without any type of electronics, without electricity. So how did you broadcast that information? So they used to have what was an ingenious way of broadcasting this information, and that was lighting a fire from one mountain to the other mountain in order to tell everybody that we're in Mekash the Chodesh. Okay, it didn't work out. We'll get to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah soon enough. Actually, the Gemara here today, in today's daf, we're going to reference it. It just didn't work out. So now, the only thing left to do to communicate that based on what's Mekash the Chodesh today was basically people by foot traveling. Now keep in mind, in the month of Tishrei, in the month of Nisan, okay, we just celebrated Rosh Chodesh a couple days ago. Tuesday. Tuesday was Rosh Chodesh. So now, if the only method of communication is going to be people on foot, so they have not 15 days to try to get out and inform the masses that today was Rosh Chodesh. It's less than 15 days. You have to take Shabbos into account. You have to take the first day of Yontif into account. In other words, they can only get so far to broadcast and communicate that information. What was done in the diaspora back in the good old days is that, in other words, Rosh Chodesh was set, but we don't know what day Rosh Chodesh was. Rosh Chodesh could either have been of the previous month. The previous month is Adar. Rosh Chodesh could either have been day 30 or day 31. Of the previous month. We simply don't know. So what we're going to do, and we live too far away from Yerushalayim, and we're not going to have the shluchim come to us, so what we're going to do is the following. On what could very well be the 15th day of the month, we're going to celebrate Yontif. On what could very well be the next 15th day of the month, which is the very next day, so that could also be Yontif, we're going to celebrate Yontif as well. Okay? And this is what's called Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galios. These are the 2 days of Yontov in the diaspora. With all that stated now, how do we view these 2 days? That's the primary question. That's a fundamental question. And the way we're going to see it is all through a simple egg. The egg will tell us everything. The Gemara says, So Rav says that when the egg is laid on day one of Yantav, so you can eat the egg on day two. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, not yet. I'm sorry. Let me first read a little bit more Gemara, and then we'll look at Rashi. So, Nol de Bezem Mutaris Bezeh. So, Rav's opinion is the egg is laid on day one, you can eat on day two. And Ravasi Amar Nol de Bezeh, Asur Bezeh. And Ravasi says that when the egg is laid on day one, you can't eat it on day two. Now, Lema Kasav Ravasi Kedusha Achasi. The Gemara throws out a suggestion. And the Gemara says, well, maybe that tells us the following. That according to Ravasi, how do we view the 2 days of Yantav Shogalios? As one 48-hour day. So the Gemara says, it's not true. That is fundamentally not true. Ravasi made Havdalah. Ravasi, when he went from day one to day two, so he made Havdalah. Now, needless to say, that would be confusing to just about everybody. Meaning that Ravasi, after he finished his first day of Yantav, so he ran home, so he made Havdalah, and after Havdalah, what'd he do? Celebrate the second day of Yantav. Now that's confusing, and I admit that that's confusing. It has to be confusing to everybody. Right, what would he say in his Havdalah? Yeah, correct, from Shabbos to Yantav. Okay, good. Right, but for us, Shabbos Yontif is not confusing. I understand that today's Shabbos, tomorrow's Yontif. Today's Yontif, tomorrow's Shabbos. Well, we're not going to make a Havdalah there. Here, you're going from Yontif to Yontif.
What's a Mavdil Begodesh?
Whatever. Okay, I mean, we could debate it.
Shechianu on the second day, so it's almost as if you make a new.
Correct. Shechianu is basically saying that today's Yontif. Havdalah is saying that yesterday was Yontif and today's not. And then he's going to be celebrating Yontif. Okay, look, you're fine. Fine. I'm not, is it, whatever. We could discuss this even later. But fine. So Ravasi clearly doesn't view it as one long, extensive day. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara's response is, Okay, so Ravasi had a suffix. And so therefore he did both of them l'chumra. Okay, now, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here now is going to try to explain to us how it is that we could view the 2 days of Yontav either as one long day or as two distinct days. So Rashi writes, Lema kasavar avasi, Lema kasavar avasi kedusha achasi. Ravasi would view them as one long day. Rashi writes, how do we view it as one long day? Chachamim kavum al b'nei gola la'asosam l'doros machma safik zeh v'itilam aleim kechomer yom aruch. Meaning, here's the story. The story is that in the diaspora, because we don't have messengers coming and telling us which day is Yontav, we're going to hold 2 days of Yontav, out of doubt. But basically now what the Chachamim say to us is as follows. Look, you're going to hold 2 days anyway, so here's what you're going to do. Those two days are really going to be consolidated into 1 day. Not consolidated, it's not the right way to say it. It's not my best word choice. But basically we're going to treat it as 1 day. That is 2 days which are going to basically fuse into 1 day, and that's a 48-hour day of Kedusha. In other words, we're doing it because of a suffek, but what the Chachamim did is basically layer on top of that, I know you're going to be observing 2 days because of suffek, because of doubt, but what we're going to do is, we're going to mold it into 1 day, into one long 48-hour day. That would be an argument to say that it's really Kedusha Achas. And therefore, an egg laid on 1 day would be forbidden on the next day because it's not really the next day. It's just a continuation of day one. The Gemara says, okay, now look at the next Rashi. Rav Asi Mavdal. Now Rav Asi would make Havdalah. Umevarech HaMavdal Min Koshachol. So first of all, he would actually say in the Havdalah, HaMavdal Min Koshachol. Dekasav Kimle B'Kviyat Diarcha. V'yam Tov Sheni Chol Gamar Hu Mishum Menag Ovesene Shelo Yadu B'Kviyat Sechodesh Kamon V'asum Misafik Me'aleim Anachno Osim Osam. Meaning, really, talk about confusing. Really, Yantav Sheni is a weekday, principally, fundamentally. So you're going to make Havdalah from day one to day two. Now, obviously, in Galus, you're going to observe day two. Yeah, but as Minag Avosenu, meaning as a custom, meaning as a practice. But Ravasi actually believed that the first day was fundamentally Yontov and the second day was fundamentally not Yontov, and that's why we would make Havdalah. In terms of practicing the second day, we'd practice it as if it was a Yontov, but based on the fact that it's a minah, that it was a custom. So the Gemara's response is, and one more Rashi, just to finish up this discussion, meaning one possibility is, again, that the Chachamim it made those 2 days into one long 48-hour day. And even if, let's say, we had people who knew better, and Rashi says, Yirbu bahem chachamim yodei itim, people who understood the calendar and people who knew better, still, imkein harehu midivrei sofim kiyom aruch. But still, what the Chachamim did is establish that 2 day period as one long extensive day. O im hein asu me'aleim a suffik v'chad minay chol, or no, or it was done misuffik and one of them is going to be chol. So fine. So in other words, Rav Asya had a suffik, and so therefore an egg laid on one day would be prohibited the next day, not because he knows for sure that it's one long day, but he's basically playing both sides of the issue. On one hand, he treats it as one long day, an egg laid on one is going to be prohibited. The other, on the other hand, he's not sure, and therefore he made Havdalah from day one into day two. Fine. Point being, however, that and Rav for sure views them as two distinct days. Why? Because Rav said that an egg is laid on one day would be permitted on the second day. Because Rav says, why are we observing 2 days Yontov? Answer, suffik. Because we don't know which day was actually Rosh Chodesh, and as a result of that, as a consequence of that, so therefore those 2 days are both being observed as Yontov, but only as a suffik. So when I have an egg laid on day one, so again, the suffik tells me day one is either Yontov and day two is not, or day one is not Yontov and day two is. Either side of the suffik, only one of the days is Yontov. We, of course, are going to observe both, but we know that only one of those 2 days is Yontov. So therefore, pick whichever permutation. If day one was Yontov, so that means day two is not, I can eat the egg on day two. If day two is Yontov and day one is not, that means the egg was laid on a chol, on a weekday. Either way, in other words, we're observing both days out of suffik. Good. That's according to Rav, and fine. Amar Rebbe Zera. Amar Rebbe Zera, Kavasa de Rav Asi Mestabro. I think Rav Asi is right. Why? Da'ina yadina bekviya diarcha v'kav dina treyumai. So, because look, nowadays, we know. Meaning, nowadays, we have a calendar, it's fixed, we know. And meanwhile, well, how many days do we observe? 2 days. What is that telling us? Minag avoseinu. That we're doing it not because of a suffix, but because. Minag avoseinu. Because that was the enactment. The enactment was that the 2 days are really one long day. Amar Rabbi Kavasa de Rav Nistabra, and Rabbi says, no, I think Rav is correct. Why? Did non brishana you must name masuos. Mishikakola akusim it kinashu shluchim yotzim. So the Gemara here quotes the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says, how was the information communicated that today was established in Rosh Chodesh? They would light the fire from mountain to mountain. And by lighting the fire to mountain, it was a fantastic way of broadcasting at long distances without electricity that today was established to be Rosh Chodesh. So, and unfortunately, the Kusim ruined it. The Kusim lit a fire on the wrong day of Rosh Chodesh to miscommunicate, and we'll discuss later. When I say later, I mean in Rosh Hashanah, we're going to discuss why they did that. We're not going to discuss it now. But anyway, so we couldn't use the fires anymore. V'ilu balukutim avdina chayuma. But what does that mean? That if we can go back to the days of the fire, so that means then that Rosh Chodesh would be communicated properly to everybody. And how many days of Yontov would we be observing? 1 day of Yontov. And because of that, so you see that really, in principle, we should be observing 1 day. We do two. Why? Because of suffik. And because we're doing two as a suffik, so now once again, how do we view the 2 days of Yontov? As two distinct days. Either day one is Yontov or day two is Yontov. Now again, in practice, that means we're going to be observing 2 days, obviously. But in principle, what it means is that if I have an egg laid on day one, it would be permitted on day two. Again, because you could pick either permutation. Either day one is chol, day two is kodesh. Day one is kodesh, day two is chol. Either way, the egg is going to be permitted. Sorry, I didn't finish reading the Gemara. So good. So now that we know that we observe the 2 days because of Safek. So now the Gemara says, okay, but now with a fixed calendar, so why do we need to observe 2 days? The Gemara says, well, that's these are b'minag of seichem yadechem zimnin degazur demachos gzeira v'asalaku laakokule. So the Gemara says, well, to that, meaning that's a custom, and we maintain the custom of our forefathers. So in other words, yes, we have a fixed calendar, and yes, it's no longer a suffix to us which day is Rosh Chodesh. We have a calendar. We knew before Tuesday that Tuesday was going to be Rosh Chodesh. We knew it. It was fixed. But the Gemara says, we perpetuate the custom, and the Gemara here gives us a reason why we perpetuate the custom. Because it could very well be that we're no longer going to have to rely on, that we no longer can rely on the fixed calendar, and we're going to have to go back to Rosh Chodesh Alpi, based in Alpi Ariya, and so therefore, we don't want to lose the custom, so to say, the practice of observing 2 days of Yontif.
Therefore, it's considered one day.
No, in terms of how we view it, we're going to view it as 2 days. In terms of why we practice 2 days, but in terms of fundamentally, conceptually, how do we view it? It's two distinct days. That's the that would be the Gemara's support of Rav. Ad Khan, that takes us through the 2 days of Yontif. So again, just a quick summary, and then we're going to go on. 2 days of Yontif, how are they viewed? So the Gemara says it's a machlokes between Rav and Rav Asi, although even within Rav Asi's position, he is not taking a principal position. He's kind of playing both sides of the fence. But Rav says the 2 days of Yontif are viewed as two separate days of Yontif. Why? Because we're observing 2 days because of Safek. We don't know which day was Rosh Chodesh. Again, we're talking about those who are living outside the realm, outside the reach of communication of the Beis Din. So therefore, they're going to be those 2 days are viewed misafek, because we don't know which day was Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, day one is Yontif, day two is Yontif, but they really are day one and day two. Day two meaning only because it could be that day two is really day one. And so therefore, an egg which is laid on day one would be permitted on day two. Good. That's Rav's position, that's the accepted position. And even after the calendar is fixed, the Gemara, it sounds like from the Gemara, we're still viewing them principally as two distinct days. So Rav Asi, meaning why do you make Havdalah? Because Rav Asi
Rav says it's two different days, right?
Correct, right. That's
he didn't do anything. He just said, okay, it's 2 days, I'm not going to make Havdalah, I'm not
doing it. Right, correct.
It's 2 different days.
Correct. In other words, again, it's 2 days Yontif, but how do we view the 2 days as day one and then possibly day one again? In other words, but they're 2 days. They're 2 days.
Correct.
But when you get to the second day of Yontif, meaning again, it's what I pointed out with Rav Asi. Meaning Rav Asi made Havdalah from day one to day two.
Right.
If anyone was there at that Havdalah, right? So they would say, okay, Yontif is over. Meaning it's part of the reason why the second day of Yontif is treated with all the regulations of day one, including making brachas, including making kiddush, including making shechianu, including all that, is because without that, so then what we would do is we'd be lax in our second day of Yontif. We'll talk more later about certain leniencies that are allowed during the second day of Yontif. But without that, we would obviously be lax. So we treat the second day with all the as if it were the first day all over again.
Does that mean that in his
Amidah
he also added the?
Yeah, you're asking me about Rav Asi. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, and it's not. It's obviously not the practice.
But Rav Asi, just for the Havdalah itself, not the Yom Tov, the Brachot, all that, but for the Havdalah itself, he was a suffix for him. So.
He wasn't a Safek, meaning the reason why he made Havdalah is because he was of the opinion that principally, fundamentally, day one is Yontif. And day two we'll treat as Yontif, but it's not fundamentally Yontif. Okay, in other words, I know Rav Asi is a more interesting shita to explore over here. But no, Rav Asi felt day one is Yontif, day two is just a minhag. It's a minhag, obviously it's observed. But in other words, he would make Havdalah after day one, because that's where principally Yontif was over.
Just have to move permanently there to Shul.
Correct. Correct. make a lot of this discussion. Hopefully, you know, days of old. Okay, I don't know that you know you're going to get me there. Idmar shnei yamim tovim sharosh hashana, and now we move to the second part of today's daf and the second part of the discussion for today, and that is the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now, mind you, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are going to be different. The discussion of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is not going to be the same discussion as the 2 days of Yontif. Now, let's think about this. Rosh Hashanah is so unusual and so interesting because we have a Yontif on Rosh Chodesh. Right? It doesn't happen any other time. Where Yontif occurs on Rosh Chodesh itself. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is not only Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, but it's also Rosh Hashanah. We just got done discussing at the end of Masechta Sukkah how they are principally two different identities. Meaning that first day of Tishrei is both Rosh Chodesh, and it's also the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah. Fine. And remember, we discussed back in Sukkah, there are two Musafim. There's a Musaf for Rosh Chodesh, and there's a Musaf for Rosh Hashanah. Fine. So it has those two identities, and therefore, here becomes now the most unusual thing. Again, we have a fixed calendar, so like, can we all just ignore the fact that we have a fixed calendar? I know it's been around for 1,700 years. But let's ignore it for just a moment. Let's go back to a time where Rosh Chodesh was determined by the Beis Din. So here comes now an oddity. Just think about this. We're waiting now for the witnesses to come to tell us that either the 30th or 31st day of Elul is Rosh Chodesh. So with the introduction of the witnesses, are two things going to happen. We're going to establish the day to be Rosh Chodesh, and we're also going to establish the day to be Yontif. Meaning we're basically waiting for witnesses to come and tell us, hey, today's Yontif. Right? Are we all now beginning to appreciate how strange a day Rosh Hashanah is? Meaning we don't know it's Yontif until the witnesses come and tell us, hey, today's Yontif. Right? So practically, how do we do it? Meaning how would we start the day? We would go into the night of what could be Rosh Hashanah, meaning again, because Rosh Hashanah is either going to be day 30 or day 31 of Elul. I mean, you understand. Meaning the 30th day of, or the 31st day of, which will then turn into day 1 of Tishrei. So we're waiting. So the night prior, so what are we doing? We're going to make Kiddush? I mean, it's not Yontif yet. We're waiting for the witnesses to come to tell us it's Yontif. So, and then the next morning, We go to the base, right? The Kohanim go to the base of Mikdash. And they offer the Tamid Shel Shachar. And then, isn't there a Musaf that they have to bring? Well, we're waiting for the witnesses. Okay. And the Tamid Shel Bein Arabayim? Well, I mean, that's the same every day. But after the Tamid Shel Bein Arabayim is offered, you can't, that's it. Meaning, right? Day's over in the base of Mikdash. You don't offer Karbonus after that. Although, we'll discuss in just a moment. Maybe you would. But you don't offer Karbonus after that. And we're still waiting for the witnesses to come? Okay. Everyone understand that this is just, it's unusual. It's not unusual. It's just, this is how it was. So let's not call it unusual. Let's just simply say that's how it was.
The philosophical question would be that Hashem was aware of this already. So yeah. Why wouldn't he ask for 2 days instead of one day?
Well, again.
Just one day. Do you have Zikaron instead of saying your music only?
No, because again, we know it's one day. The Torah says that Rosh Hashanah is one day. But just in terms of instituting it, the day of Rosh Hashanah, we're waiting for the witnesses to tell us that today's Rosh Hashanah. Again, you think about it, you realize it's strange. And so the Gemara now is going to discuss the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, Rav Shmuel Dami Tavai, Anolda Bezeh, Asir Bezeh, did not. Now, the Gemara over here works with a lot of assumptions in terms of the fact that we know that there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. How did that happen? How did that work? So now we're going to see. We're going to learn today the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. We're going to learn it, obviously, again in Rosh Hashanah. But here we get to see the dynamics of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Originally, Basin was open the entire day. Where basically we said to the Edom, the potential Edom, you come anytime you want during today. We'll wait for you, we'll receive you, we'll accept you. Again, we're talking about the 30th day of Tishrei. Sorry. The 30th day of Elul. So, Hayimakal made us a Chodesh Kol Yom. So, fine. And then if they would come, so then we sit down, we listen. Oh, you saw the new moon? Good. Today is Rosh Hashanah. Even though it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we have an hour left of the day. Today is Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So, Pamachas Nishtawa Edom Lavo. And then one time, the Edom came really late in the day. And it's kalka levim b'shir. And what happened is the levim said the wrong shir. And itkinu shelo yeh mekavim aseidim el ad ha-mincha. And so therefore, basically now, what would happen is the following. So Basin said, you know what? One time the Edom came really late. Here's going to be our new policy. The new policy is, up until the afternoon, we'll accept the Edom. After the afternoon, the beginning of the afternoon, that's it. Doors closed, we're not accepting Edom anymore. And what's going to happen is, Elad mincha v'imbo Edom and a mincha l'mala. So then if witnesses come in the afternoon, so then no haganoso ayam kodesh, we'll finish today being kodesh, ulamachar kodesh, and tomorrow is going to be kodesh as well. Okay. There's a lot of things that we need to discuss right now, and my time is really limited, so I'll see if I can say this hopefully clearly and succinctly. One point I didn't make very clear, and let me make this point very clear. In a time where we were waiting for the Edom, and we were waiting for Beis Din to tell us that it was Rosh Hashanah, so we would go into the 30th day of Tishrei, the entire Jewish people, and we would say, we're going in with the expectation that today is Rosh Hashanah. We don't know. It's all going to be based on the witnesses, but we're going to go in with that expectation. So we go in today, no malacha. Don't ask me about Kiddush, I don't know. Okay, I mean, you can ask me. I'm just telling you, I don't know. But no malacha, right? Right. We would wear yontif clothing. In other words, we would treat the day as if it were yontif. Maybe it will be, maybe it won't. And so therefore, based on this policy, this new policy, we would finish the day as if it were Rosh Hashanah, but based on what state to the witnesses, no, you stay, you wait, and the next day would be turning into Rosh Hashanah. So that is the origins of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, based on this new policy that was enacted by the Beis Din. That min ha-mincha l'mala in the afternoon, we no longer would accept the witnesses. We would finish today as Kedusha, but tomorrow would also be observed as, not just observed, tomorrow would be Rosh Hashanah. Okay, a couple things to discuss over here. The Gemara says, what happened? At one point in time, the witnesses came really late, and the Levim said the wrong song. They said the wrong Shir. So Rashi points out over here, that we're not talking about this song in the morning. In the morning, they already said it. It was well said. Rashi writes, most of the time the witnesses would not be coming before the Tamei Shel Shachar. Okay? Tamei Shel Shachar was offered really early in the morning. Witnesses would not come at that point. Which song would be singing the Tamei Shel Shachar? The regular day song, meaning whatever today was, the Shir Shel Yom, that was sung in the Beis HaMikdash. Even though, again, I know it's a little bit confusing, meaning we're expecting today to be Rosh Hashanah. It could very well be that today is Rosh Hashanah, but Shir Shel Yom was said during the Tamei Shel Shachar. The problem was, is that when you got to the Tamei Shel Bein Arabayim, most of the time the Edom would have come at this point in time. One particular year, the Edom came really late. So what we sang during the Tamei Shel Bein Arabayim is the Shir Shel Yom, the regular song of today, and it turns out that they sang the wrong song. So Tosfos points out over here, and as a result of that, so they changed the whole policy. Where, if the Edom come after Mincha, so we say to the Edom, hey, hang out here. Wait, because tomorrow we're going to observe Rosh Hashanah. Fine. So Tosfos points out over here, isn't it a little bit strange? Meaning, what got us all into a new policy is the fact that we sang the wrong song. Meaning, in other words, again, I'm sure we can all understand the shir is really important. But Tosfos points out, isn't there something even bigger that we missed? And that would be the carbon musaf. Meaning, the Gemara is saying that the whole policy changed because we sang the wrong song in the Tamei Shel Bein Arabayim. Tosfos says, we offer the Tamei Shel Bein Arabayim. What does that mean? It means that we missed the carbon musaf.
And you can't bring any carbon after that.
You can't bring a carbon. You can't bring any carbon after the Tamei Shel Bein Arabayim, right? We spent a lot of time in Pesachim discussing that there are a couple of exceptions, but generally speaking, you don't bring a carbon musaf after the Tamei Shel Bein Arabayim. So why is the Gemara like not even whispering anything about the carbon musaf that was just missed and the song, the Shir Shel Bein Arabayim? So it bothers Tosfos. It's a strong question. And Tosfos basically says, you can see it inside, he says it in two different ways, but basically, they would offer the Musaf after the Tamei Shel Bein Arabayim. Yeah, you have to say that. And the only reason why you have to say that is because the Gemara didn't breathe a word about the missed carbon mustaf, it must be that it was brought after the Tamisha Ben Arban. How could you do that? You're generally speaking not allowed to do that. So please see Tosos for that discussion. Okay. One other point before we go on in the Gemara, and that is, okay, in this new policy, where we basically tell the witnesses, I know you saw the new moon, I know you're ready to testify today, but it's after Mincha, tomorrow we're going to observe Rosh Hashanah. In terms of the date, which is the first day of Tishrei? Day one or day two? So Rashi writes over here. You take a look at the Rashi. Ada mincha, ada kravas tamishal ben arba'im. Aval acher mikan osa yom harehu meubar umonim miyom hamacharas liyom akipurim v'sukkos. So in this new policy that was enacted, even though the witnesses were ready to testify today, because we're pushing him off to tomorrow, so the Rosh. The first day of Tishrei will actually be tomorrow, even though today we observed Rosh Hashanah. Right? Is that confusing enough?
They celebrated the 30th and the 1st.
Right, so they would celebrate the 30th and the 1st. Okay.
Unlike what we do.
Correct. And hopefully we'll be able to articulate what we do. It's not correct. Correct. That's an absolutely correct statement. Meaning, and you hit it right on the head. Meaning the big difference between the 2 days of Yontav, of your 2 days of Pesach, and 2 days of Sukkot, 2 days of Shavuot, that's a suffix issue. Here, by Rosh Hashanah, it's not a suffix issue. Because Yontav is contingent on the witnesses, and because under certain circumstances, we just simply don't allow the witnesses to testify, so today will be Rosh Hashanah, and tomorrow will be Rosh Hashanah. But you're absolutely correct. This is not a suffix issue, which is very well may be that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are not the same as the 2 days of Yontav. Okay? Good. Amar Rabbah. We're on Hey Amad Aleph. We're 4 lines down. Mitakanas Rav Yochanan Zakeh Ve'elech Beitza Muteres. Okay. So now, I'm sorry. So what do we say regarding the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Asura. An egglate on day one of Rosh Hashanah is going to be prohibited on day two. Exactly as Martin said, because it's not a suffix. Good. Now, the Gemara says, fine. But Rabbah says, but you know what, after Rav Yochanan Zakeh, so an egg would be permitted. Meaning, after Rav Yochanan Zakeh, we're looking at the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah differently. What was this takana? Did not. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Yikrim Rav Yochanan Zakeh Shiyu Mekal Meiretz HaChodesh Kol HaYom. After destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there is no longer any carbon to consider. So you know what? And again, after the destruction of the Second Temple, we're still doing Rosh Chodesh based on Beis Din and witnesses. And it's not a fixed calendar. And it took approximately 300 years after the destruction of the Second Temple before the calendar was fixed. So for 3 centuries, we operated with a Beis Din and Edim. So, but what Rav Yochanan Zakeh says is because it's no longer Beis HaMikdash, so we're reverting back to the original policy where we're taking Edom the whole day. And so Rabbah says, based on that, so now the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are not one long, extensive day, but rather 2 days. So Amalei Abayva Ravish Moldar Mitava Beit Asura. So the Gemara says, that seems to be a good point, but Rav and Shmuel, who lived well after Rav Yochanan ben Zakeh, well, not well after, but after, who lived after Rav Yochanan ben Zakeh, and they said that the egg, which is laid on day one, which would be prohibited on day two, meaning they understood the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah not to be 2 different days, not to be 2 independent days, but to be 1 long extensive day. So, Rabbah, how can you tell me that things have changed after Rav Yochanan ben Zakeh when Rav and Shmuel lived after Rav Yochanan ben Zakeh and they're still viewing it as 1 long day? Amarle, I mean, Allah ana Rav Yochanan ben Zakeh v'atamat lin Rav and Shmuel. So his response was, look, I know you're name dropping. So you're throwing out Rav and Shmuel. I'm throwing out Rav Yochanan ben Zakeh. Right? I win. Right? I don't mean to speak in the, you know, I'm trying not to speak irreverently, but my hand is better. Right, so Ula Rav Shmuel Kasha Masnisan Lo Kasha Halan VeHalahu. So the Gemara says we can resolve the two, meaning what we could basically say is as follows: is that after Rav Yochanan ben Zakeh, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are not viewed as 1 long day, but rather it's 2 separate days. An egg laid on day one is going to be permitted on day two. As far as Rav and Shmuel are concerned, so they're describing, when they say Nol de Bezeh, Asur Bezeh, they're talking about in the diaspora. Meaning, Rosh Hashanah will be conceptually different for those living in Eretz Yisrael versus those living in the Galus. I know, we attempted to answer that question previously. But if you take a look at Rashi, Hanlan Valu, Rashi explains, Livnei is Eretz Yisrael Shosim Yom Echad Muteris. Aval Lididam B'nei Gola Asura Sharei Adayin Anu Osnei Shnei Yomim Va'odene Kebat Chila Mimnei Osa Takana Rishona. In the diaspora, we observe 2 days because of what was originally done in the Beis HaMikdash. Because of that policy change in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're observing 2 days because of what because of that effective change in the Beis HaMikdash. And for us in the Galus, it hasn't changed. Therefore, it's one long day. Therefore, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are really 1 48-hour period. Therefore, an egg laid on day one is going to be prohibited on day two. In Eretz Yisrael, after Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, we're reverting back to the old policy where we're going to accept the Adam the whole day. So now Rosh Hashanah is fundamentally 1 day. It may be observed as 2 days, but that's because of, I don't know how to say it, suffix or whatever. In other words, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be Nol de Bezeh, Muteres Bezeh. Halan Valu. Rav Yosef Amraf B'Tekanus Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai Ve'Elech Beit Asura. Rav Yosef says, no, I disagree. Even after Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai allowed the Beis Din to accept witnesses the entire day, the entire 30th day of Tishrei, nevertheless, Nol de Bezeh, Asur Bezeh, My Taima, Havei Davar Shebeminyan, V'Chol Davar Shebeminyan, Sarach Minyan Acher LaHatiro. Because once the policy has changed, once we no longer accept the witnesses, Min HaMincha Olamala, so therefore, Rosh Hashanah is 1 48-hour day. It's what we call Yuma Arechta, and it will perpetually be a Yuma Arechta. The only way that it could change is through a basin that is greater in number, Minyan Uvechachma.
For us or for an
individual? Rav Yosef sounds like he's saying this across the board. He's making no distinction.
So talking about that guy by himself changes if it's an equal square.
Right, correct. Meaning, right. In other words, he's revoking the policy change, but he's not changing the fundamental nature of Rosh Hashanah. I'm with you. That is challenging. Amar Rav Yosef Menamin Allah. First of all, now the Gemara has such a basic discussion. I told you a lot of basic issues are going to be discussed today. How do I know that if there is a takana made by Beis Din, the only way that it can be undone is by a later Beis Din? How do I know that? Dechsev, the Gemara gives a number of examples. Lechem olam shuv lechem lo lechem. One example is where the Torah says, after Maimon Har Sinai, you can go back to your wives, meaning there was abstention between husband and wife 3 days prior to Maimon Har Sinai, in Hachan, in preparation for Maimon Har Sinai. And then afterwards, what did Kosh Baruch Hu say? Go back to your wives. So in other words, there was a... I know this is not a takana de rabbanan. This is a oraisa. I mean, this is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But in other words, there was a institution, and there was a repeal of the institution. A second example: V'omer b'mshocha yovel hemayalu bahar. When the shofar stops, or that's one of Rashi's explanations of b'mshoch. Although Rashi points out, you could give another explanation. But b'mshocha yovel hemayalu bahar. When the shofar stops, at that point in time, now the shechina is gone, and now you can go on to the mountain. That's another example. The Gemara gives a third example. Kem revaya yolo yushlai mahalach yom echel echotza vizui truma. So I'm sorry, vizui truma. So elat min ha darom. Now again, I know there's a lot of geography issues going on here. I'm going to ignore them. Why not? So elat min ha tzafon v'akrava min ha. I'm sorry, elat min ha. Yeah, min ha darom v'akrava min ha tzafon lud min ha mara v'yardei min ha mizrach. The Amr Ula Vitemer Rabba Barbachanam Rav Yochanan Matam Kedei La'atur Shuki Yerushalayim BePeiros. Quickly to explain this, your fourth year fruit that comes off the tree, coupled together with your Meister Sheni, so you can either A, bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it Yerushalayim, or B, transfer it to money, bring the money to Yerushalayim and then spend it on food. A takana de rabbanan, a rabbinic institution, is that if you live within 1 day's walk of Yerushalayim, so you can't be poda onto money. You must bring the fruit to Yerushalayim. Why? Because they wanted the fruit to be in Yerushalayim. Kidei la'atar shuk Yerushalayim b'peiros. And so therefore, as a rabbinic institution, so you did not have an option of redeeming, you must bring your Maaser Sheni and your Netzer Revai into Yerushalayim and have the fruit actually be consumed in Yerushalayim. V'tanya kam Revai yolo l'Rebbe Elazar b'Mizrach Lud b'tzad Kfar Tevi. And Rabbi Eliezer was just east of Lud, which means that he was within the zone. And ubikesh, top of Hamad Beis, ubikesh lafkiro laniyim. So, and what he wanted to do is, this is right, I don't want to schlep. So he wanted to basically declare it hefker. Amar lo tamid of Rabbi kvar nimnu alecha chavrecha v'tiru. So they said to him, we're good. You don't have to schlep. There was already a lifting of the takana. Man chavrecha Rav Yochum Zakai. So tamad din nimnu halo nimnu lo. So there was a minyan. There was a, in other words, there was an assembly of a later Beis Din, and the later Beis Din uprooted the original takana. Okay. Now let's just quickly go through this Mai Va'omer. Hachikam. And the Gemara is just going to say, you know, we gave three separate examples where something was done b'minyan, and it required another minyan in order to be mater. So Hachikam. Mechtik. Sivayu nechon l'shoshin yamim matik shu alisha. Lechem or lem shuv alechem lo lechem lamali. Shvaminah kol davish b'minyan. Sarach minyan achalatiro. So example number one, abstention prior to Ma'amad Har Sinai, and permission granted to go back to your tents. That was example number one. Why do I need a second example? So as Rashi explains, maybe the truth of the matter is you could have argued that the ban was lifted. Or the ban, right, the ban of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was lifted. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give special instruction to the men. Okay, that was a long time of abstention, go back to your wives. Mitzvah Vona, between husband and wife. So maybe that's not indicative. So Tashma b'mshoch hayom v'hem yalu bahar. So the Gemara says, that's why I needed the second example. The second example was that you can't ascend on Har Sinai when the Shekhinah is on Har Sinai, but once the Shekhinah is gone, once the shofar stopped blowing and the Shekhinah is gone, so now minyan, meaning a new act of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a new dibur of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, specifically tells us that you can go. Ksiv gam atzarim rabakal yirul molah harahu b'mshal chayov olam alish maminah davish b'minyan sarach minyan achilah tiro. I need a new dibur of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to permit it. V'chite mahani mila b'dar raisa. Now I would have thought that this is only by dine de araisa. Avo b'drabban lo. Tashma Kerem Revai. So the Gemara says, so we have Kerem Revai. What does Kerem Revai tell us? That even if it's a Din Derabbanan, I have an act of Beis Din, I need a new act of Beis Din. V'akerem Revai Derabbanan v'karmer le'kvar nimnu alecha chavarecha v'tiru v'chitem abbeitanami imnu ala Rav Yochum Mezaka v'shar yuha. So the Gemara says, now, what about, in other words, how can you re-legislate the egg? So the Gemara says, no, you're not re-legislating the egg. Ki imnu ha-edus ha-beitza lo imnu. No, the legislation was on edus, the legislation was not on the egg. And so what was upended was only the legislation on the edus, not on the egg. Okay, we're stopping over here, we're pausing over here. I know I just crammed a lot into that last 5 minutes. Okay, basically, the two big discussions that we had today, really three big discussions, the two big discussions that we had today, while we finished up the topic of the Eim Aval and Isra Lechatchila, and under certain circumstances, you can be Mevatel Isra Lechatchila by a Derabbanan. Tosfos says it has to be exclusively a Derabbanan. We talked about the 2 days of Yontif Galios. Are they viewed as one long day, or are they viewed as two separate days, and we observe them Mishum Safek? So Rav says the latter, not the former. Even after a fixed calendar, it sounds like the Gemara says we're still viewing them as two distinct days, and therefore, Nolda Bazeh, Muteres Bazeh, and then the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are principally different. Nolda Bazeh, Asura Bazeh. What about after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and after Rav Yochum and Zakkai basically revoked the policy change? Is the law regarding the Beitza going to change? That's subject to a major debate amongst the Amorayim. And the Gemara just concluded the position of Rav Yosef, where Rav Yosef says that even after Rav Yochum and Zakkai and onward, an egg laid on day one is going to be prohibited on day two. The revocation was on the edus, but not on the egg. Okay, stop over here.